listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
A 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and get them sit-ups right in. Tuck your tummy tight in. Do your crunches like this. Give head, stop, breathe. Get up, check, what? Check your weed.
Oh, that was, I was going, that's not right.
These lyrics are not right.
Okay.
Don't drop the bun, disrespect the weed. Pick up your son, don't disrespect the seed. It's a party tonight. Oh, she's so excited. Tell me who's invited. You, your friends, and my dick. That's scary to me. But he make girls look like Holly Berry to me, so excuse me, miss. I forgot your name. Thank you, God bless you. Good night.
I came.
It's been a week without me. When I feel weak without me. Anyway. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast with your host Rod and
Karen.
And we're live on Wednesday. And we're just trying to work it out.
Work it out. That's another one of them songs. You kill yourself if you actually try to exercise to it.
That's a good point.
Because I have tried. You'd be like, I can't keep up with the beat.
Yeah, plus you got a lot of instructions.
Right?
Can't do all that stuff at the same time. Give head, stop, breathe. I mean, come on. You just told me to do crunches.
Come on!
And I'm supposed to be smoking weed through this whole thing? I mean, Kanye.
And check my weave.
I mean, this is a lot of stuff.
If you can do all that, of course you're going to be fit.
Of course, the Blackout Tips, we can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Just search all those places. Leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. We appreciate everybody that takes time out to do that. That, of course, keeps our show elevated on iTunes and Stitcher. When it comes to recommendations, when it comes to seeing, like, us promoted with other podcasts that are kind of in our same lane. These are things that are relevant to their algorithm. That's why we ask for it. In addition to that, it lets us know that you guys like what we're doing. You're listening. You're contributing. We want people to feel like they're a part of this. So when we encourage people to leave 5-star reviews, like, it's a whole bunch of stuff. We love positive reaffirming.
We do.
You know, too much stuff is put into I think too much emphasis is put on creative lanes about criticism, accepting criticism, and people being critical.
Come on.
Oftentimes unqualified criticism, oftentimes right. Unreasonable.
Shit you can't change.
Oftentimes harsh critique.
Right. Some people just fucking mean.
Yeah, people a lot of times hide behind that shit or whatever. But look, I'm not, I'll be honest, I don't really want all that negative critique around me.
I'd be the first one to tell you, you can keep that bullshit.
Yeah, I got friends and loved ones and people I trust that listen to this that, you know, if they want to hit me up, they are much more gentle about their shit. They're much more
right,
you know, like respectful and shit like that, as I would be if I were to approach someone about what they do.
And how most people would be if you see people online, because the thing that trips me out about social media, particularly because they, you know, that's where most of the interactions are, that are harsh and just over the top. You're like, yo, you wouldn't talk to me like this if you were face to face with me.
Yeah, it just didn't have to be that way. But my point being, 5-star reviews kind of help us avoid all that. Because, right. One, you're leaving 5 stars. So that's a positive thing on the algorithm. Two, you're leaving us some words. You're letting us know what you think, if you like it, what you like about it, and things of that nature. And we encourage you guys to get involved. And let me just extend it. Don't just leave 5-star reviews for us. Leave them for the other podcasts you enjoy as well.
Come on.
It takes a few minutes. It's a little bit of your time. I understand that. But, it's also a great way to help out a show without having to spend a dollar on it.
And absolutely free.
And it elevates those shows. So I'm sure the people of the other podcasts that listen to you would love to hear from you.
And
love to read your 5-star reviews and let them know they're in the right direction.
Come on.
Speaking of which, sometimes we get reviews from outside the United States. It takes a few extra days for us to like get those.
Yes.
And we did get one from Canada.
Yay!
This is called Canadian Privilege, 5 stars by Fried Chicken Niqua.
I like that name.
Who says, if I was told I could listen to only one podcast for the rest of my life, the Blackout Tips is the first and only podcast I would choose.
Aww.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you both for being so knowledgeable and so real. You have taught me so much. I may be a plump pansexual, black nerdy woman living with major depression and anxiety, but I'm fully aware of my privilege. Having been born able-bodied in Montreal, pronounced Montreal, oh, I didn't know that, Canada, to the most living mom you can imagine. This is a thinking person's podcast. Do yourself a favor. Oh, I love when y'all throw that you in there from across the, just blah, damn, take
yes!
this. You do yourself a favor and give it a listen. Thank you. That's very kind of you.
Thank you, baby.
And see that little boost right there, man? Like, that's this thing to put the battery in your back to be like, yo, man, let me go do this podcast and celebrate, you know, and enjoy and give people something else to look forward to. Because I'm going to tell you something else, guys, as a creative, for me personally, I get in my head sometimes. I'm like, why the fuck anybody want to hear what I got to say about the same shit that everybody else already talked about?
I think everybody does that. But what I've come to realize when it comes to a lot of things, people listen for you. And I think that everybody assumes that everybody has the same opinions. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But even if we do, there's still going to be different opinions within the agreements. You know, because the thing is, people come to hear our voices because our voices matter to them. Just like people go to other podcasts to hear their voices on the same things. You know, sometimes certain topics people just say, well, I'm not going to cover it because everybody talked about it. But what you better realize, your listening audience actually wants to hear what you have to say about said topic.
Yeah, like I said, it just gets into my head sometimes. And
I understand.
Also, you know, other times it'll be like, who am I doing this for? You know, if you're not getting feedback, this is everybody who does this stuff. If you're not getting feedback, you start thinking like, what I'm doing, is it important? Are people listening? Do people care? Is what I'm saying even relevant? Is even something that people feel like enlightened by or challenged by or any of this stuff? You know, because a lot of people are putting their stuff out into the void, and it can cause a death of creativity, a death of energy, stuff like that. And we work hard, you know, like we work hard as fuck.
Yeah, we do.
We're constantly putting stuff out. And not to mention all the technical stuff behind the scenes that I do at the site and all that stuff. Like, so, you know, I just want to encourage people that if you have it on your heart to drop 5 stars for somebody, and I'm not just speaking for me, I'm speaking for a lot of creative people.
Right.
You know, that you consume that content, you know, you're especially now in this day and age when we're more interactive than ever, you're talking to your favorite people on Twitter and Facebook and direct messaging them and all this type of shit, but still haven't left a 5-star review for them, still haven't you know, shared their podcast to let people know what you're listening to. You know, think about it. And this is not to make you feel bad or anything, but I'm just saying, think about the efforts that we go through, the efforts that we require of those that we support, and then we turn around and just go, thank you for the free shit and peace out, you know? So
yep.
5-star review is free, takes a little bit of time, but you're letting people know that you appreciate them and you're thankful for them. So anyway, just something, and it actually does manifest, it really does help. It's a tangible thing. All right, speaking of tangible things, let's talk about people who gave us some money to talk about this podcast. This podcast is sponsored, oh wait, first of all, the official weapon of the show is
the taser,
unofficial sport
bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. This podcast is sponsored by Shadow Dog Productions, maker of Book Crushers, a new comedy web series for people who love to read and love to make fun of books and authors. Our trailer is now out. Please check it out and share. Like I said, I will put it in the show notes. It's already on the on the last episode they sponsored. It's already on our website. I embedded it so you can literally go to the episode, click on the video, and watch the preview for it. So yeah, once again, liking their stuff, sharing their stuff, clicking a little thumbs up, all the leaving a comment, all these things help our show, as well as an independent producer like Shadow Dog Productions, like Dexter. So
right,
make sure you guys take the time out to do that. And then the last sponsor, a little bit sexier. Matter of fact, let's give my man some props.
Yeah, what's up? Leave your name and a brief message, and I'll be sure to get back with you. Peace.
Tell him I love you. Break it down.
Yes!
I don't want nobody else to hear the sound. This love is a private affair.
Interrupt the flow, no, then better not dare.
Let me tell you who's trying to help you.
Break it on down. Yes!
Adam and Eve is trying to help you break it on down. Adam and Eve is determined to help you break it on down in your bedroom, okay? Like it's never been broken down before.
Come on.
and you won't be able to break it back up after. Check this out. Go to adamandeve.com and you'll get 50% off of just about any item when you offer, when you enter offer code TBGWT at the checkout code box. That's a great deal. 50% off of just about anything, okay? We're talking, look, sexual toys, okay? You know what I'm saying? We're talking about, look, ergonomic, pillows and stuff for your positions in the bed. We talking about swings and shit. We talking about outfits, lingerie. We talking about videos, like, you know, professionally produced DVDs, you know what I'm saying, that come in a widescreen format to fit on your entire big ass TV, not that 480p shit that you used to, okay? We talking about that real shit, all right? Adam and Eve is giving you half off of that, and you would think, well, that's enough, Rod. Damn, I'm ready to type in the code right now. Well, hold up, player. Don't do it yet, okay? They still got some more shit. If you act now, they include their free Big O kit. And I don't want to give away no secrets, but the O is for orgasm. It comes with Climax Gel and a mini vibrator. But that's not all. What? I said that's not all, y'all. You would think that would be enough. They also want to give you free shipping, okay? Free, like Nicki Minaj did for all the other rappers on streaming, giving them freedom, okay? They are giving you free shipping. They are the Harriet Tubman of sex toys, okay? All you gotta do is put in code TBGWT at adamandeve.com. Pick out your one item, put in the code, get free shipping, and you get the Big O kit. That's adamandeve.com, code TBGWT. Take me out, Tevin. You can tribute anybody you want.
We got to break it on down,
down.
All the way down. We got to break it on down.
Break it down, baby.
This back when there was no innuendo in the song, like they just put straight up fucking underneath the singing.
Come on,
like back in the day, you know, like it was no like innuendo of like, oh, this part right here during the saxophone. In the 90s, it was like, no,
you hearing all the moans.
We need porn sex sounds,
all the groans.
Like, put a woman in the booth, and I want her just to sound like she is getting the shit fucked out of her.
They did everything but the wet sounds.
Right. Like, I want you to croon, but in the background, it's like, oh, and the whole time that he's singing and shit. It's funny too because I think the best or worst example of this is actually, what was the dudes that remade Ribbon in the Sky? Intro, was it? Let me see. Them niggas had one. That song.
Casey JoJo. Jodeci had one like that too.
Yeah.
It was, that one was Freak Me.
Yeah, Freak Me was pretty, yeah, that was a pretty egregious one.
What was the one you talked about?
I'm about to tell you right. Yeah, it was Intro that did it. I'm trying to see what song. Oh, it was Come Inside.
Yes!
Because, see, the radio version, if you listen to that shit, the radio version of Come Inside is like 4 minutes.
Yeah, you...
The album version is 8 minutes and 10 seconds.
Good God.
Right. It's got an intro to it, hence their name. I guess it's them getting in the club. Keep in mind, you just hit play on Come Inside because this is a single on the album. You like, when is this shit gonna happen?
Come on! Ain't no music
a
yet!
Minute in.
Turn up all the lights.
Yes!
Make you feel alright tonight.
Come on. Alright, so that's Let Me Come Inside. Let me
yes,
get closer to the
cause
end.
Yes, because I want you. Yes.
Yeah, won't you come on in and show me just how much?
This 5.5 minutes into the song, y'all.
I like when you touch it. Yeah.
First time I heard this shit, I was with my aunt and my mom.
What?
In the car, driving to Atlanta.
I know that was like, what the hell is
this? I was like, play this intro. I like this album. I like them. Cause I knew Ribbon in the Sky, which I, shame on me. I was a little kid though, so fuck y'all. But I didn't know that Stevie Wonder made that version, made Ribbon in the Sky.
Originally
or whatever. So I just was like, oh, this is the greatest song in my life. And then you grow up and you're like, these niggas just made somebody else great song. It's like when you get older and then you realize all Puff Daddy good songs is just remixes of the 80s good songs.
It'll fuck you up because you start hearing it, you'll be like, that's my, wait a minute, this don't sound like no goddamn Mary J. Blige. Who is this?
Yeah,
I just be
listening to Puff Daddy and be like, actually, I just want to listen to Sting. Anyway, back to this.
Yeah, babe. What the? You know I like when you do that.
Now y'all just picture my mom and aunt
in the car that.
Getting quieter and quieter because they was just talking and not really caring about the song.
Right.
I didn't know the shit was on the tape.
Right, because you know you probably only heard the radio version.
Right, I didn't know this shit was on the tape. I think I bought this in home base.
Miss me.
Yeah, they're like, girl, yeah. What?
Oh, yes, I did. No, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
And then, of course, it became quite obvious that come inside was a euphemism at this point in my life. I think this is when I grew up and I just realized, like, oh, this is what sex is about.
Don't know what sex is, but apparently this is what it means.
Apparently, you want to put your wiener inside somebody and and put something in them and
I don't know what that is.
Yeah. Keep in mind, the name of the song was Come Inside. They just took all the pretense out for 3 minutes, like,
come on!
No. They won't understand what we talking about, okay? Like, we gotta really let them, like, they gonna listen, they gonna be like, what is Come Inside, what, the house? You know what I'm saying? Like, you wanna come inside, get something to drink? No, guys. We need to let them know we're talking about coming inside her vagina with our penis. And leaving some sperm. You're like, okay.
I know your mom and it was like, girl, yes, you know, we going down the road with these kids, you know, and what's happening? Girl, do you hear that? What is this?
I'm just in the background, beat red, like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, you looking like, I didn't notice y'all. Nobody told me.
And I think it was a tape, too, so it wasn't even.
Not
it's like,
the tape!
So it's like, can we just fast forward,
right? You couldn't skip, but you didn't have a CD where you could just skip the whole track.
We don't have to listen to this part. By the way, in my mind, this part took 20 minutes. Like, I know y'all.
I know it did. Yes.
Right now, I'm looking at the client, the thing ticking down. It's saying like 2 minutes left. It felt like 50 to me.
I know it did.
Like, this is a feature length movie.
I know you're like, when are they gonna get this shit on with? Cause they not forwarding past this. What's happening here?
Yes. Man, I couldn't wait. When I was on the road, I was just thinking about this.
Oh my. I heard this in forever.
Like, did you write this part down when you're making the song? You're like, here's the script for the breakdown of the sex, or
I don't know.
You, like,
this
are you,
is the Quiet Storm version. You know, you're probably in bed by the time this version came out.
Well,
on.
My question is, like, as a songwriter, are these lyrics, or do you write a beautiful song called Come Inside, and the next day the guys give it back to you, like, we finish, and you go, why is it 8 minutes? I gave
right?
you a 3.5-4 minute song at
tops.
Best. What have you done to my beautiful songs? Like, when we add an intro, when we went into the club, you're like, okay, maybe that accounts for 45 seconds. What are the rest of this 3 minutes? Oh, well, on the back end, we just added,
we just did a porn scene without the video.
We just went ahead and added the entire Afrocentrics, porn scene, to the whole thing. So, yeah, we think it's dope. You should listen to it.
Honey, yeah, shout out to Columbia House with the 1 cent CDs.
How long was they recording this shit? Was it like, guys, that was a good take one on it, but I'm gonna need y'all to do it again. This time, can you know,
a little
maybe,
bit more moaning? You're not convincing right now.
I need you to really like stick some fingers in the pussy, to start the warmer up. I feel like you guys got through that too fast. That was only 3 minutes. I need you to take
a little bit
full
more groaning.
5 minutes and 46 seconds of
more heavy breathing.
You know, maybe stick your fingers in your mouth, get close to the mic, make some weird sounds, you know.
Some more panting.
Yeah. Can I get some, can you do this thing with your tongue? Like, can you get all up in the mic and do that?
All
maybe?
Right.
Also notice, no dick sucking. Come on, guys. This is not an amateur production. We,
come on, we do it all.
We are trying to get a number one hot R&B single, and it's not going to happen if there's no dick sucking on the breakdown, near the end of the chorus. So let's get back in there, guys. Give it a take two. All right, take two. Oh yeah. And since this audio, there's no video this part.
Right.
They gotta say everything. Oh yeah, I'm eating that pussy right now, girl. Oh. Ah! Oh boy, you are really sucking on my labias all the way to the top, baby.
Yeah. Like, lick them nipples harder.
Right. Oh man.
You trying to bring this home on me?
It's going down.
Oh,
like no one's ever said that during sex, right?
Come on,
it's going down.
Mm-mm.
Is anyone? Maybe I don't know. Maybe see that's we kick on the millennials looking at us.
Actually, like what's wrong with y'all actually, old I don't people? Know
who are the millennials? But the young
you picked me the other day. Like I said, I don't know. Am I don't? I might be in the group. I might not. I don't know.
It's up to like 38, I think. Anyway, the young people is looking at us like, but y'all say our music trash.
Come on,
we don't have 5 minutes of audio sex at the end of every track.
Mm-mm.
To make it sexy.
Right.
Put it that way.
Damn.
Oh, watch your teeth now.
Hey, you know what would be funny?
What
it would be funny if they if
that's
the
hilarious.
It would be funny if the person in the booth doing the sex interlude has never had sex before. That would be so good. They'd be like, oh yeah, baby, stick it in your belly button. Huh? Is what? That not what we...
No, that's not what we doing here.
Oh yeah, when you let me
what can fit in your
inside,
belly button?
Oh yeah, I'm all up in your ear right now, girl.
Mm-mm.
If you let me, yo, if you let
can
me
we get somebody else some up you're fired.
If you let me put my dick in your ear, if you let me come inside.
No sir, no sir.
I know
sir.
Babies come from the pee hole. No, they don't, baby. What you doing?
No, they don't come from the
yeah.
pee hole.
Oh, yeah, baby, am I in right now? Can you feel me? Wrong hole, fool. If you let me put it in the wrong hole, if you let me come inside.
Mm-mm, mm-mm.
Oh, baby, I already came. It's
yeah,
only been 3 seconds.
Sex is already an awkward thing anyway.
It's just, the end is just him being like, I'm so sorry, it's my first time, this never happens. If you let me right. try to get it back up, just let me come inside. If I could maybe get a sandwich in like 20 minutes to rehydrate, then maybe I can come inside. I just think you need to go, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, baby, I really just need to stay. I just mm-hmm. you got some Gatorade. I just need to get some electrolytes mm-hmm. in my system. Mm-hmm. If you let me get some electrolytes.
No, I need somebody with some more experience, baby. You need to beat it.
Then you can let me come inside.
I know she was like, look, I'm too old for this.
See, she told him to turn over, and now I'm like, what exactly is going on?
Ah!
I mean, how freaky was this? What did I miss? I didn't know nothing about sex at this time.
Yeah, you missed a lot, sir.
Yeah. Damn, you know you always make me fake, man.
And, you know, in 2018, if this happened, the same, it'd be like, turn over, I'm gonna eat your ass. If you turn over and let me eat these groceries, I'm gonna come inside.
All right, oh baby, if you let me don't come stop. Inside.
I really feel like this part of the song played all the way from Charlotte to Atlanta that day. It was just like,
I bet it did in your mind.
Like, this the longest.
And that was like fucking four plus hour drive, at least 4 hours.
Like, let me pretend to be asleep. I don't know what this is.
Nap time.
Yeah, it was, I mean, look, that was the times. That was just, do they even do that on songs anymore?
I don't know. I'm old. I go over to bed before the quiet storm come on. I don't even know if the quiet storm is still a thing.
I'm not talking about Quiet Storm. I'm just saying we have more music at our fingertips than ever.
Correct.
We listen to a lot of songs. You know, mm-hmm. Beyonce's never had an intro or outro of just like, you know, and this is what it sounds like when I toss somebody salad or nothing. Like, did that just die out is my question. You know, like, do we do that anymore? Is there, you know, is like Future doing that on his albums, you know? I know the Diplomats just have 100 interludes of calling women and disrespecting them in voicemails and shit.
Yeah, that literally used to be a thing. Like, particularly with rap albums, you couldn't have a rap album without some form of interlude.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. It's something I wonder about. Like,
and it was the art to it too, especially if they were good.
Oh, for sure. Like I said, I remember, well, another egregious one was, Nori had one about getting head.
Oh.
He's, yeah, I'm saying, I don't even know how to ask you, but why don't you just bless the God or something, baby, I'm Buffy, you
turn
know?
Turn on your back.
Right. Oh, stop rushing me, I'm gonna turn over, though.
Turn on your back.
All right, what up, yo, what up?
I never heard this.
Yo,
it's deep though,
yo.
Okay.
There's a whole genre of songs. Suck my balls. Oh. In the 90s? Just suck my balls, yo. Oh. Squeeze my sack, yo. Oh, Reese. Oh, shit. Yo, suck my dick, yo. Take that, yo. Deep though. Oh, shit. Yo. God damn. Fuck, man.
Now I'm just thinking to myself, see, as an audio professional, this nigga went in the booth and had to record this. He was not getting his dick sucked. So you just had a dude like randomly on Nori's album do a minute of what does it sound like when you are getting your dick sucked acting. It's just voice acting for no reason. What is that? It has
that's
no,
a lot like, of hard voice acting.
It's
like,
not like the song Head would not be good.
Come on.
If we heard, once the song getting head in the whip, but not crashing it. Like, it's not like if we heard that song without the interlude, we'd be like, I just don't understand what the song is about. Getting what kind of head in the whip? If only there was a minute intro of someone getting their fake dick sucked in a fake room by a fake woman. If only that was happening, then I
would know. Yes, and we don't want to love these songs.
It's just, anyway, I don't know how, that's a big tangent. Anyway, adamandeve.com. All right.
Before we move on, I know we didn't do a show yesterday, mm-hmm. and y'all,
it was Senior Citizens Day, guys. International Senior Citizens Day.
And, it was.
Yeah, it was. And I just wanted to respect the senior citizens. I hope everybody took the time out to, you know, talk to the people in their life, the senior citizens yesterday. You know, just a brief reminder. But what were you gonna say?
Well, I felt like a senior citizen. Because my gums was irritated, so I was like, you know what, let's just chill, because I was like, I'm going to the dentist tomorrow, because I had an irritation in my gums and it'd been bothering me for the past few days and I didn't want it to get worse. So I made an appointment for the dentist, and when I went in, it was like some inflammation. My gums were irritated around two of my teeth and I couldn't figure out, you know, what was happening. And I know I just got my braces out, so I was trying to figure out what was happening. And when I sat down in the chair, she looked at it, x-rays and things like that. The very first thing she asked me, she was like, do you eat popcorn? I was like, yes, we go to the movies every week because we normally review movies. Like, yes, I eat popcorn all the time. And she was like, well, popcorn has like the little hard little husk inside the popcorn. She was saying tiny pieces periodically get caught in people's gums, like up underneath the gums, and when that happens it irritates the gums. And she was saying once it irritates the gums, she said a lot of times we have to go and we have to pluck it out. And then she also said that people have actually broke and chipped their teeth off of like biting down on kernels. I was looking at her like, what? I did not know this. She was like, yeah, so they did it, and I had actually brushed the little piece that was in my gums out, but it was still inflamed, and that bitch would holler and scream, like, my mouth was like, hey, I'm hurting, hey, you better pay me attention, like, it didn't matter what I did, and I didn't realize I used an electronic toothbrush, and so the one I had, I never paid it any attention, but the bristles on it was kind of hard. And so she was saying that whenever you brush your teeth with electronic toothbrushes, I didn't know this, she said you're actually supposed to let the toothbrush do the brushing, you're actually just supposed to hold it. But in addition to hold it, I actually move too, and she said you could be over brushing, and she said that also irritated your gums. So today I went and I upgraded my toothbrush to a Sonicare, and I looked at the price, I was like, it's kind of up there, but I'm glad I did. I think it's a good investment, and this one, it's a smart one, because it actually lets you know when the head needs to be changed. It actually does like the 2-4 minutes with the quadrants or whatever that.
You haven't officially used it yet, right?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Mm-mm, I bought one today, so because I was like, well, if I'm going to upgrade, because I didn't want to have a manual toothbrush, but I didn't want a toothbrush that was going to irritate my mouth, because I don't know, it's like riding in the car with leather seats. I was like, look, I'm not going back to the cotton. I like leather seats. So I was like, I want a nice toothbrush. So I bought a Sonicare, and I actually really like it. I'm actually using it for the first time tomorrow. And they actually gave me like a mouthwash to actually clear up the irritation in my gums, and it actually worked. I first time I used it today, and I could actually instantly tell it was kind of healing it from.
Yeah, it's not like a regular mouthwash. They didn't give it to you at the dentist. We had to go to a pharmacy, and they didn't even have all the stuff at like a CVS or whatever. Mm-hmm. We had to go to like this old timey folks pharmacy,
right?
To get it. But yeah, it was, I don't know what's in it, but
I don't know what's in it, but
it's like a $25 mouthwash,
right? And it was like Duke's formula. I was like, oh, y'all done stole this from Uncle Duke somewhere and said, we're going to use this formula. That's why the insurance don't cover all of it. Cause they were like, fuck, we don't know who Mr. Duke is. And no, we're not covering whatever herb he using in here.
Also, I guess yesterday, since we have a shot to talk about it, but I woke up in the morning and there was a snake in our bathroom. It's a little tiny like baby snake, like it like it was like worm size or something, you know, like I'm trying to think, maybe I would say it was really thin, and probably about 3 to 4 inches long. And you know, I was just sitting there like I went to use the bathroom, and I was sitting on the toilet, and I just looked at the floor, and I was like, that looks like a fucking snake underneath the mat.
Glad you found it and not me.
Underneath the mat by the sink. And it was like such a small snake. I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that is a little tiny ass snake. And I think you had gone to work or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, okay, what am I going to do? I don't know shit about snakes, how to catch them, if it's poisonous, what kind of snake it is.
Mm-mm.
So I made sure to take a picture of it, because I know a lot of times when you don't take a picture of it, you don't know what the fuck kind of snake it was. You know, if I want to, like, and I know like certain snakes are more, like if it is a poisonous snake, they're more poisonous when they're tiny, but I didn't expect it would be poisonous, because very low percentage chance that we don't have that many poison snakes in North Carolina.
Mm-mm.
The ones we do have, it's like I think we have like a copperhead is probably the most venomous one, and they are more venomous when they're small. So you know, I was like, okay, just want to make sure it's not that. And they look, and snakes look different when they're babies than when they do as adults a lot of times.
Okay, I didn't know this.
Yeah. I don't know, it looked more like it was a rat snake to me, which is a more common snake. It grows up to be like a black snake. Some people might be familiar with those.
Okay.
So I took a picture of it, and then I went and got a bucket and a broom to see if I could guide it into that. But then before I was gonna do that, I was like, wait, well, if this shit gets away, I'm gonna spray this shit with some wild spray, because that's what I use to kill that lizard.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we have a strong policy of I don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. What you are, if you don't pay rent in here, you gotta go.
You can't live here.
It's the death penalty. Okay.
No, you don't pay. If your name not on the lease, you got to fucking go.
So it's the death penalty for the snake. So I sprayed that shit with the wasp spray, and it was just sitting there in the wasp spray, and I was like, okay, now I'm gonna try to use the broom to like maybe sweep it towards the bucket, put it in the bucket, and I'll just take it outside. So I go to sweep it with the broom, this shit runs, like slides off into a crevice, a tiny crevice, like maybe less than a dime's width, not the face of it, but the side of it,
right?
Slides into the wall. I was like, the fuck? Like it just went right between the cabinet and the wall. It's like, what the, is that where the fuck it came from? Is that how it got in my house? You know, I know it's sprayed with that wasp spray, so it's gonna die. I made sure to Google that shit, and I took a picture of it and put it on the internet. I was like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? And I forgot to tell everybody I sprayed it with wasp spray, but whatever. And so, you know, first of all, never ask the internet what you're supposed to do about a snake in your house. Mm-mm, mm-mm. Baby snake or not. Because 99% of the responses from the Negroes who follow me were burn the house down.
Come on.
One, it's an apartment. I can't burn it down. We just renewed the lease, so I'm stuck here for a year. And then two, you know, while that might be funny, you know, that's not an option. It's like, move. I'm like, well, I'm not doing that either for a fucking baby snake. And then that was bad enough, you know, the people with the same joke 3,000 times. I'm talking about my mentions
lit up, didn't they?
It was, I muted the whole fucking conversation, the replies to the conversation. It was and like, it was the one time that all of a sudden all the famous people who follow me but never retweet me
I had a comment.
All of a sudden, it's like Jermele Hill wants to say something. Fonte wants to say something. Reagan Gomez wants
to
say something.
So it's in that timeline. So it brings other people. Yes. Right.
Like everybody that's black in America knew I had a baby snake in my house in the wall somewhere. And so then I was like, all right. Calm down, Rod. Like, it's weird. I never really panicked. I think maybe that's what 40 is. I don't know. Like, you start getting close to 40, you just like, it's a fucking baby snake. It's not gonna do anything.
That's what you say.
Okay, alright. Well, it is a fucking baby snake and it's not gonna do anything.
That's true, but when you say calm down, I don't know how I would have responded, but I don't think
Well, it was me. I'm just telling you how I responded. Maybe this is for me, but, you know, plus, like, anyway, so it crawled into the wall. I had already sprayed it, so I know it's gonna die. It takes a while for wasp spray to kill a small animal like the reptile like that, but it does kill them. Now I'm sorry, the other part of people that were just getting on my fucking nerves, all of a sudden animals rights activist niggas that was like, just talk to the snake like it's a person or some shit.
What?
Yeah, I'll just ask it to leave my house, man. Fuck you. Oh, well, what I would do is just let it stay in my house. Nigga, you let snakes stay in your house? I would never come to your crib, ever. Are you serious? Just snakes roaming free in your crib?
You ain't got it in the cage.
You nasty ass weird person? Who does that? Yeah, that's my rat snake over there. Don't worry about him. He's just sitting over there watching us watch Insecure. No, I won't come to you. And if you have a house with snakes in it, you better fucking tell me before you invite me over, because I will fuck you up if I catch a snake in your house and you try to act like that's some normal ass shit.
I just slid them past my feet and I'm supposed to be cool with it.
Weirdos. Oh my God. Like snakes molting over your house and shit. What's wrong with y'all? Anyway, so people was like, yeah, I would just let it stay. I was like, yeah, because it's not in your fucking house. I guarantee none of your houses have fucking snakes living there. You fucking liars. You weird fucking liars.
And if you do, is in some form of a captivity.
Right. Well, it's more scared of you than you're scared of it. Well, okay, cool, man. Can you talk it into the bucket? You know, the people call animal control. If I call animal control for a 3-inch snake, they gonna laugh my ass out of the fucking apartment building. Not to mention the shit is in the wall now. What they gonna do? Take apart my fucking wall? They gonna get there. They gonna go, where's the snake? I'm gonna say, it crawled in the fucking wall. They gonna be like, yeah, well, okay. What the fuck you want me to do? I'm like a fucking electrician. Good luck. So what I did instead was I went and got some like traps and shit for snakes, like glue traps and shit. Because one I think is dead, but my thing was, what happened was people made me paranoid because they was like, what if it's a baby snake and like the mama laid a nest of snakes in your wall? I'm like, for real? That could happen? And you know, everything I looked up was like, no, it can't. But it was a hive of bad information. So I was like, well, just in fucking case, I don't know the rules of snakes, you know. But snakes aren't really like motherly creatures. Like, they don't take care of their fucking snakes. Like, they, you know, the snakes are like the bad kids in Menace to Society and shit. Like, get your fucking snakes out the street, you know. So apparently, like, the mom doesn't lay a nest of snakes and then just watch over them niggas forever. It's like, you better get out of here before I eat you. I'm kind of hungry. I just gave birth. You know, they just hatch some eggs and fucking like crawl off. They don't even like sit over their eggs and warm them or nothing.
They don't have no body temperature.
Right, so it's probably just by itself. Somehow it's got in through that hole in the, that fucking sliver of a hole between the fucking cabinet and the fucking wall, which makes sense because sometimes we'll see millipedes in our house, like once every month or two.
Mm-hmm.
I see a millipede and I'm like, how the fuck did you get in my house?
Right, because at first I thought it was coming up the drain.
Yeah, like, are you crawling up? But see, millipedes aren't like, they're not like house centipedes. They're not athletic. They're like, they can't jump. They don't move fast. They like, they're whack as fuck, dog. They like,
on that whack.
So I'm like, how, what are you doing? Cause it's like, you're obviously crawling in, like, are you crawling under the door? Like, what the fuck are you doing to get in my house? You know? And they just be in the house chilling like, dude, like, I don't think they bite or anything.
They move slow.
They're not poisonous. And like, I just always use the fucking dustpan from the broom and just put it underneath them. They crawl right on top of it and right, I'll dump their ass right in the trash and be like, going outside. But those motherfuckers, like, I'm like, how are they getting in? And I'm wondering if that was it, like something like that.
Right.
Anyway, man. So I put in a request to the maintenance people, like, y'all niggas need to come fix this fucking hole in this wall. What the fuck? And I put down, and then I went to Home Depot, bought some glue traps, put them down in the house. Really just more for peace of mind, because I don't expect to catch anything on them. Like, that snake is long gone and dead. But I was like, you know, just in case.
Shit, the most you might catch is my foot from me fucking forgetting it's down there. Some shit.
Be careful, those things, it'll make your foot go to sleep.
Right, so I'll be sure to look down.
Yeah, because the first time we had that mouse in our house 2-3 years ago, and I caught that mouse, I touched one of those glue traps trying to put it down. I didn't mean to. Mm-hmm. And then my finger was numb for a minute. I was like, this shit tried to kill my finger. Talking about no insta kill. Okay.
Well, it instantly killed. I'm not a rat,
but if I land on that shit, I'm dead.
Come on.
Anyway, so I put it down, you know, and they said leave them in the house for a few days, the traps, and then move them around if you don't catch anything, whatever. I don't expect to catch anything, but I just did it anyway. Cause it's just, that shit was just weird. But yeah, it didn't freak me out or anything. Like, I still use the same bathroom, all that stuff. I don't think is gonna happen again. But then the maintenance people came and they coughed over the hole today, and he was like, I'm sorry, man. I was like, it's all good. It's like, it's not like you did it,
you right know? How would you know? Nobody would have known that it could have fit through that.
Now, I did get super paranoid from, I just started googling everything, because anything snake related, I was just like, let me look this shit up, like, what's going on. And the biggest one that was weird to me was because also people was just going over snake stories and shit in my mentions on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and shit. I was like, I should have never told y'all. But one person was like, yeah, one time we had a snake, and it was a mama snake, and it gave birth to some snakes, and I went into my closet, and I seen it was crawling into my boot, just like the mama snake was crawling into my boot. So I put a towel in the boot and like to trap it in there, called my husband, told him to come in, take care of the snake. And I was like, why would you tell me that? Like, I just want you to be prepared in case. I'm like, no, there's no way to be prepared for any of what you just told me. And now I'm like, is this like a mama fucking snake living in my shoes? Like,
right, do I need to dump all my shoes out now?
Like, what kind of shit is this, man? Like, you know, that, like, if people was just doing shit to make me paranoid and shit, which the biggest assholes on the planet. So it's just a bunch of unhelpful ass, like, people just stressing me out and making me, you know, paranoid about snakes and shit. Shout out to all my Twitter followers and Facebook jokesters and shit. But yeah, so that was my day, just trapping snakes, trying to get them out my house and stuff. So anyway, that happened. People was like, what happened with the snake? And that's the update. And it was people, get a mongoose, get a cat, get a this. I'm like, for what? You know, like, one, how the cat gonna know the fucking snake is in the bathroom? Like, the cat's got fucking 6 cents. They don't give a fuck about that shit. Like, get the fuck out of my face. You know, like,
and that's something else I gotta take care of.
Mm-mm. Right. And also, I gotta fucking clean up the mongoose fight.
This is why we don't have no animals.
Like, get the fuck out of here. I will spray that shit with a wasp spray because it kills everything.
Yeah, ain't neither one.
Get the fuck. You are escorted off the premises, homie.
Come on,
get yourself out, or I will get you out. Those are the choices.
Neither one of us got a litter box.
Yeah. By the way, that wasp spray kills like venomous rattlesnakes. That's what I looked it up, and police departments were actually giving their police officers wasp spray to kill rattlesnakes so they didn't have to get right up on the rattlesnake and, you know, try to shoot it or hit it with something.
Right.
So yeah, it was kind of you know, it was kind of just a harrowing experience, quote unquote, but I was proud of myself for staying calm through the whole thing.
I'm proud of you too.
Cause like I said, it was such a tiny fucking snake. And if I would have known that I could, if I would have felt confident that there was a way to get it into, like the bucket or something without, cause I did try to get it in that bucket. But if I would have been confident, like, there's a way to get this shit in this bucket without, like, harming it, I really would have tried, to be honest. But it's a fucking snake, and it's a animal. It's not, you know, this is not a fucking like person or some shit. Like, I hate how people were talking like, you know, you could just walk up to it.
An animal whisperer.
Fucking white people, man. They're just talking like you can just fucking walk up to it and be like, hey snake buddy, hey, I know we don't know each other and you're probably scared, you're in this big house, you're not supposed to be here, but if you wouldn't mind, hop in the bucket, I'll transfer you outside, you go out in the woods and you have some fun, all right buddy? Like, that's not how the fuck that shit was gonna work. It's a fucking snake, dog, and I don't come from snake country and I don't hang with snakes, all right? I don't even like snake people. Of course I'm not gonna like a snake.
Ah!
You know, I don't wanna keep a snake pet. Oh, now you got a little pet, why don't you name it? Ha ha ha, pet D's, get the fuck out of my mentions. Weirdos, fucking weirdos. Oh my god. They were the worst.
And the ladies today, one of the ladies suggested about popcorn. She was like, well, I don't eat popcorn, you know, because she was like, my daughter don't eat popcorn, but she was talking about like a popcorn substitute called pirate booty. And I was like, okay, I'll try it, but you know, it probably tastes nothing like popcorn.
All right, well,
I'm just adding that in there when you're talking about useless information.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, somebody wrote the show this week and told me I need to tell you all my random thoughts before we go on the air, because sometimes you just go off on tangents and talk about stuff and they feel like you look stupid because you ruining the random thoughts. Mm-hmm. They wrote that as a comment into the show. And you know what I gotta say about that? One, that's the fun of the random thoughts, is that I don't know what the fuck Karen gonna say and she don't know what I'm gonna say. Two, I don't, like, she's just reacting with the audience. And three, Karen's become so vocal over the course of this podcast. And I think that's the beauty of the show, is that Karen just does what the fuck she wants. Like, I have plans and stuff in my head to go one way, but Karen, like, I like that you're vocal. I like that you're confident in your point of view. You're confident in your in what's funny to you. You're confident in your stories. And a lot of times what people don't realize about the random thoughts thing, the random thoughts thing is very hard when there's no reaction from the other person. Like, you're not just,
it is.
I need the feedback, I need to bounce off, because I need to know that this is connecting and making sense. And a lot of times it's about timing, and you allow me time to build up the joke. So even if the joke becomes quote unquote ruined, or you beat the punchline, then that's the new joke. Like, this is all fucking freestyle right here, y'all are listening to.
Cause my mind is processing the whole time too, so.
You don't have to explain. I'm saying, like, there's no need to explain. It should be fucking apparent. You know what I mean? Right. Like, this is, watching, you know, two people try to throw an alley-oop on the break, right? It's jazz, baby. It's jazz. And I don't want to do a scripted ass stoic show like so many other shows where it's stilted and you can tell they got like responses, and it's all planned out, and I'll say this and then you say that, and we're gonna cut out this error time in the audio, and we're gonna do this. Like, nah, man, you're listening to me and my wife talk about the shit that we think about and the shit that we read about, and that's it. That's all you get, as a promise. And Karen does not look stupid. She just doesn't know where I'm going with the joke, because nobody knows where I'm going with the fucking joke. So, that's the point. You know, like, I don't want to do somebody else's show. I like this show. And sometimes it comes together and it's beautiful, and sometimes it comes together and it's awkward, but it's always real. And even when it's awkward, there's still something beautiful and funny about that. Mm-hmm. So chill the fuck out. I'm sorry to jump in your business before we even get to the feedback show, but I was like, who the fuck are you talking about stupid? That shit don't look stupid. Like, stop putting that shit, stop putting your perception on the show. Like, that's a weird thing to say. All right, buddy, gotta watch it, man. Anyway,
and guess what, you don't have to listen.
Yeah, well, the other thing too is, Karen, one of the things that makes you so funny is that you don't really care about certain shit.
Mm-mm.
In the way that other people care about it, and it kind of, people will let an ego ruin a joke so fast.
Yes.
It's like, I don't want to look this way. I never want to be the butt of the joke. I never want to be the straight man to a joke. I never want to be the person that delivers a punchline that's not funny. I never want to deliver a pun that doesn't, you know, like, puns are this and that. And Karen's just kind of like, I'm with everything. Let's go. And that's what makes it fun, you know? And sometimes the random thoughts aren't always jokes.
Mm-mm.
You know? So, you know, it kind of helps that. So, yeah, you know, I'm not trying to say anything mean to the person, but
mm-mm.
I just wanted to reiterate, like, that's kind of ridiculous. Like, Karen's here as half of the show, and it's not just the same way when she does random thoughts, which has been a while, but she'll do random thoughts sometimes. Like, I'm not gonna be up here stepping on them or telling her that, you know, like, or acting like I know where she's going with it when I don't know. We'll see. We'll get that together. You know, that's her thing. She'll just jump on the track and do a guitar solo sometimes. and then that's fun too. We just bounce off of each other. It's yes and, not no but. All right.
Yeah, because my mind ticks all kind of, but like I said, I haven't done that in a while. Periodically shit will happen and I'll just jot it down sometimes and come in with some random thoughts. Yeah, I haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, but you know, my point being, like, we're here to support each other. So you know, and it would be kind of corny to do, in my opinion, it wouldn't be authentic to the show to start doing random thoughts where Karen knows all the jokes and all that shit. Cause then,
in fact, I don't want to know.
If she laughs, then it's not a genuine moment. If she's laughing, I don't know. Y'all can't hear when somebody's show is fake. Is it just me? I listen to a lot of podcasts.
And I can tell when it ain't real.
And you can tell when it's just
I can tell when they don't like each other. You can tell when they don't get along. You can tell.
Well, you can tell when it's just heavily edited and manufactured to, like, I say this, you say that, then you say this, and then it's like, well, just read a script, nigga. I don't want to hear this. All right, let's get into the news. So Lovey Ajayi, I think that's right, or is it Ajayi? Yay. Awesomely Lovey, y'all know her. She wrote a whole essay about that whole Twitter dragon she experienced from saying that Tevin Campbell basically did not have the range.
Hold on, before you go on.
Huh?
I'm sorry. The more I'm thinking about it,
mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, you said enough, but something else I'm gonna say on top of this, dog. Just so you know, and you probably know this, I'm not stupid.
Right.
And the more and more I thought about what you said, I'm not stupid. You listen to me. I don't listen to you. And I mean, I hate to keep it real like this, dog. You come over here. And like I said before, and I meant it, you don't have to listen. It's always optional.
Yeah, it's such a, like, I'm trying not to take it personal, but it's such an insulting turn of phrase to even phrase it the way that it was phrased. You know, like, I can go find the exact comment, but it was kind of like, nah, like, you, it's almost like that Dan Le Batard thing. You don't get the show. Like, okay, Karen doesn't know where I'm going with my next comment. That's fine. Sometimes I don't know where Karen's going with the thing she's saying. That's part of the show too. Yeah, it was crazy broke Negro said, Rod, could you brief Karen before the show, especially before random thoughts? She never understands a joke. It makes her look stupid out here. Don't disrespect our Karen. They tried to frame it like,
mm-mm.
You know.
Yeah, and in my opinion, it's one of those things to where a lot of times, like, these negative comments like this, not trying to be funny, they don't ever be aimed at you.
Right. Well, this one is kind of, they trying to make it seem like it's aimed at me.
No,
like Rod, you did this to Karen. You didn't put her up on the joke before you told the joke.
Yeah, and the thing is, also it's one of those things. Like as I really sit down, I'm thinking about it. It's one of those things. Like I said before, a lot of people like this would be somebody that would be like, "Well, I'm just giving a positive critique." No, the fuck you ain't. Mm-hmm. Like, didn't nobody ask for that.
Yeah. Also, I think they also feel like it was awkward. Karen didn't know where this joke was going right away, and she started talking about something else, and then Rod let her talk the whole time, and then he went back to the joke.
Like, you're supposed to fucking control me.
Right. Also, they put themselves in your shoes. Like, I would feel awkward if I went on a tangent and had nothing to do with the joke. Karen doesn't care about that shit.
Mm-mm.
So, you know, that's the difference. Like, don't worry about Karen feeling awkward. She don't give a fuck. Like, as soon as I got back to the joke, she's like, "Oh, that's what you meant." And then we laughed at that. Like,
cause that's what we do.
You know? But I think there's a lot of projection in that kind of stuff.
Correct.
And, but yeah, just as a general rule, you know, I don't have any animosity towards the person, but I would not, not briefing Karen about the articles, format, mm-hmm. any of the shit. She's kind of like a stand in for the audience. The thing I hate is explaining the joke or explaining the show to people. But it has to happen sometimes because, you know, maybe it's not the show for them, or maybe they just really dislike the moment of the show or something. I don't know. But, yeah, it happens. You know, you're listening to a couple. We talk every day. We do the show 3, 4, 5 times a week. Not every random thought is going to be as tight as it should be. Mm-mm. Not every segment is going to pop off perfectly. Not every discussion is going to go like a CNN thing, but that's why our show is different. That's what makes our show special. So yeah, it just felt like concern trolling.
Right, like right.
Under the auspices of, it was like trying to say Karen looked stupid without, and put it on me somehow, but it's still another way to kind of just, you have to look at it from my perspective. It's just another way to try to like knock down Karen is on some like she's stupid shit, you know?
Right.
Or she looks stupid, and which I disagree with on both counts, obviously.
Right. And so, you know, it's just one of those things that a lot of people do this where they talk to you and interact with you and to almost get a response out of you by quote unquote attacking the weaker link, which is me. You know, but it's one of those things where we've been doing this long enough. I'm not new to this, so you ain't the first person and you won't be the last person to come my way with some foolishness, and I guarantee fucking to you this is not something that you would say to my goddamn face. Mm-hmm. You know, keep that real with that. You know, it's real cute to do it like this, but you would not say that to my face.
Yeah, and also like this, and we've had this with multiple people that have kind of critiqued the show in this in different manner, but they always try to act like they're speaking for everybody. But they're just speaking for them. This is your hang up. Everybody didn't write the show. Everybody didn't hit us on Twitter or whatever. Like, you know, they recognize a live show. You're watching us freestyle and experiment and improv a lot of this stuff. And, you know, sometimes it's going to pop off and sometimes it's not, you know. But yeah. Go ahead.
Mm-mm. Yeah, and it's also one of those things, too. Like we, like I said before, and I will continue to say this. This show ain't for everybody. It ain't for everybody. And just as quick as you hit play, you can hit stop and go on somewhere else. It's plenty of people that because we've been doing this for years, there's plenty of people who found homes other places, and I just want you to find a home. It might not be here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so hopefully it's just an awkward moment and that person can understand how it looks from our perspective, since they did write in and they wanted to be heard. But even the phrasing of that, man, like
even
it just wasn't even, I don't know. It just felt. I don't know if they how they meant it, but it feels like an insult towards Karen, framed like it's trying to guide me towards something. But it feels more like it's about, well, Karen didn't get this joke. Okay, it's one joke out of a fucking 2-hour show.
There's a lot of jokes I don't get. And truth be told, I personally think a lot of people that kind of critique certain ways, particularly like this, a lot of times that controlling thing, how dare you not, you know, control the woman on the show, how, because it bothers a lot of people that you just kind of let me freestyle and free range and do what I want to do and say what I want to say without quote unquote wrangling me back in, you know, that bothers people to an extent. How dare you let a woman be free?
Yeah, I mean, it's not, and then, yeah, anyway, I just found that to be kind of, you know, when we talk about feedback, we talk about response and stuff, like, you know, this is the kind of stuff, like, I want people to consider, like, before you even send it in, just think about it, because, you know, I've had other stuff, you know, and this, I don't even think this was as, this is very short, this isn't even the harshest thing anyone's ever seen.
Nope.
You know, I've read this 2 or 3 days ago, and I just, it's been in my mind ever since they wrote it, and I just been like, this does not sit well with me. I didn't want to like get angry at them, cuss them out, to get defensive or insecure about it. Like, nah, you know, I'm fine with the show. You know, sometimes random thoughts are going to be random and sometimes they're not even funny. So, you know, Karen doesn't know it's a joke or not. To be honest, some of them are fun jokes and some of them are just serious, but
and some of them I make serious because I don't get it as a joke,
right? And also a lot of times anything I joke about, there's a tinge of seriousness to it, so there's a discussion to be had in many cases, even though I'm joking, you know.
Correct.
So and I want us to have a show that can do that. You know, that we can stop in the middle of a joke and be like, hold up, this is more important than the joke.
Come on.
Or, you know, well, this is Karen's contribution. This is her tangent to the joke. And I do it to Karen too. It's just been a while. Cause the most important thing is we're both contributing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, all that stuff and to say.
Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt, but that crossed my mind while you was reading. I was like, let me catch it now while it's on my mind.
Nah, I mean, it really made me think about something, when they wrote that comment, which is how much you've excelled and taken to the show and really making it yours. Like,
yeah, I've came a long way.
You know, it used to be a time where somebody would have wrote something in like that. One, I would have felt angered on your behalf to like try to take them to task, and I probably would have been cussing and mad and went on a rant. Which, you know, kind of talks about my own insecurity around it, or my own like defensiveness around it, I guess the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is our baby, you know, we both care about it, we both speak about this all the time, we both work on it.
Yes, we do.
But it's ours, you know, it's not everybody else's, it's ours. So we care about it a lot, and you know, if people feel a certain way and they critique it, that's gonna happen. You know, people are gonna feel, you know, not everything's gonna pass, you know, everybody's whatever. But what I was thinking was like, you know, sometimes during the show you'll kind of like run roughshod over like a point to make your point. And I think a lot of people, because, and I don't think they do it consciously, I think it's subconsciously, a lot of people are very uncomfortable with the idea that a woman would just be like, I'm gonna talk about what the fuck I want to talk about right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like what you said reminded me of something else, and now I'm about to spend the next 5-10 minutes talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
And men, we do it all the time.
Yes, you do.
Constantly. You know, it's not even a thing. Like, I've never had anyone really complain about it too much. Some people, you know, they do it to an extreme and they try to like take over everything, make everything about them, and obviously that can be annoying. Karen doesn't do that, but even with that, we've had guests that do that, that's their specialty, and we think it's funny, or we'll just laugh it off or whatever and keep it moving, but we won't really get letters about them, or no one writes in to say, I hate it when you had this guest on, why they keep derailing all the jokes, why they keep doing this or whatever. You know, like if it's a dude, we never get those. If it's a woman, almost every time we get, you know, so-and-so was saying this, or she made this joke and it wasn't that, and you know, it's like people feel more comfortable critiquing women. But I'm very like proud of your growth via the show. I'm very proud of how vocal you are. And I like that you come in and you're just like, I have this point to say, because I don't want to be a person that's just monopolizing the mic, speaking over you, cutting you off. When you bring up a point, just being like, whatever, I was already speaking, like I was saying da da da, like I don't want to be that person, you know what I mean? And I do want to listen to you and add on, like it's something I work on and try to get better at, because I still have my times where I'm like, okay, I don't know where Karen's going with this. What the fuck? Toothbrush, popcorn. We didn't talk about any of this before the show.
No, then, we did not.
You know, and then I'm like, oh, okay. All right. Well, that's what Karen wanted to talk about, but it's her show too. You know? So, that's kind of something that I thought about was, you know, even though I felt the comment was a little haphazardly worded, I hope at best, you know, maybe passive aggressive at worst, I guess, but you know, trying to consider, give people benefit of doubt and consider the good, you know, rather than just the bad of, like, you know, so I'm looking at it that way. I'm like, well, maybe they gave me an opportunity to reflect on just your growth as a person, that the show's named The Blackout Tips because you weren't sure you wanted to be on the show.
I was, you know, like, I'll be a producer.
Yeah, you were quick to be like, if you want to get a new host, I'm not going to be good at this. Mm-mm. And you've really blossomed into this. So, you know, it made me think about all the progress and all the confidence and the puns and the jokes you make. The fact that, you know, you have something that I don't have, which is a lot of times you're willing to be like, well, if this thing fails and I tried, oh well, at least I tried.
Correct.
And I like to try to be good at everything before I attempt it, which is
nope,
which a lot of times keeps me from taking chances on things that might turn out to be great, right?
Correct.
This is a life thing. This isn't just a podcast thing. So anyway, all that to say, like, those are the qualities that you bring to the show that it's just a different perspective, and the show wouldn't be the same without that perspective. It wouldn't be the same without you being willing to try and fail. It wouldn't be the same without you being willing to add a point of your own volition to the thing that I'm saying, because we don't have the same perspective on everything, and we mm-hmm. don't bring the same life experience to everything. And that is what that building that people are hearing when people say, I listen to y'all show, y'all don't argue like other shows, y'all don't do, that's because we're constantly trying to build up the conversation for each other.
Right.
Rather than tear each other down or push each other out, or let me say my point, but I don't want to hear your point. I gotta have my point. I'm the one that's right. You're the one that's wrong. Like, we're trying to make something different, and sometimes it's gonna sound awkward because it's not gonna sound like anything else you're hearing anywhere else.
Right. And it's also one of those things, you know, it's funny how a lot of times people, you know, we've heard people say, y'all always agree. That's not so. We disagree on a lot of stuff, but we don't yell and scream and cuss each other out and call each other's names. But it's a lot of shit. If you actually listen to us, we don't see eye to eye on some things.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's, to me, it's not even about seeing eye to eye, disagreeing, all this shit. I think that's some other people's shit. It's more about trying to understand. If I can understand where somebody's coming from and they're a reasonable person, I respect them. 99.9% of the time, I'm like, well, yeah, I see how you got there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's all I care about. I don't really, this shit where it's like, I beat you in an argument, that shit is for the fucking birds. That's for CNN and MSNBC with their panel discussions. Like, that is not how I see life. You know what I mean? And maybe other people see life that way, and, you know, good luck to them, but I'm not one of those people. Like, I would, when we talked about the blur shit, I didn't go, Karen, you wrong, change. I'm like, where are you coming from? Where is this coming from? How did you get to this point? What is your interactions with this? Hey, I used to feel this way, so maybe this is a thing where I'm gonna end up feeling this way again. Maybe I was right to feel this way in the first place. Maybe you'll come to my side and be like, I don't feel this way anymore. You know, we both kind of, you know, it's more about gaining an understanding for perspective.
Right.
That's different than this other fuck shit that people are doing, where it's, let's both have a debate and the winner will take, there's no winner in a debate. You know, this isn't a fucking, no one's scoring this.
You don't get a trophy.
Yeah, you just end up being angry at your wife the rest of the week. Like, what the fuck is this shit
right,
about?
Right, you got to live with her.
Anyway, alright, so Lovey, wrote about her dragging on Twitter where she got drugged for saying that Tevin Campbell did not have a range to essentially sing a tribute for Aretha Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, it felt like it should have probably ended there. You know what I mean? Like, people probably could have said, you know, hey, I disagree with Lovey on this, and this happened 6 days ago at this point. Hey, I disagree with her. The end. But you know, Lovey's not this is a trend with her over the years. At this point, she don't back down. Like, she basically doubles down on all her shit right away. This happened with that light skin activist shit, you know, like, she doubles down, and then people go, this is kind of fucked up. And then, you know, the activist shit, it took like a week for her to like write an apology. And we talked about it on the show at the time. It was like, I mean, just, you sound like you had a problem with some specific people.
Right.
You talked about a big ass group of people and lumped everybody in when you probably could have just said whoever's name it was you don't fuck with, and people would have been more understanding. Like, oh, you don't like her? Because guess what? There's a lot of people that don't like activists. Like, pick one. I guarantee you, activists get drugged on the daily.
Yes, you know? They do.
Like, it don't matter who they are. You just pick one, and it's going to be somebody out there like, I can't stand that motherfucker. Let me tell you about, you know. Anyway, but it was the double down on that. People was like, yo, what you wrote was kind of fucked up, da da da. And then it was the double down. And then it's like, okay, well, now motherfuckers are mad because you're not listening to them, and you're doubling down, and you're stepping back at them. And then a week later, it's like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said it that way, blah, blah, blah. You know, whatever. But yeah, so she said, someone suggested Tevin Campbell to sing Aretha tribute. Under what rock did they pull that name from? To which people are like, what are you doing? Like, Tevin Campbell is the man and beloved, and everybody started coming to his defense, and people, famous people, everybody like, no slander for this, that, or other. She tried to explain that it wasn't shade that she was throwing, but that she was saying that she just didn't know what he had been up to, so that's why they said, like, it wasn't meant as disrespect to Tevin Campbell. I don't know how you can look at that as not disrespecting him. She put, Tevin Campbell's trending, Lord, I know he can blow, but I haven't heard his name in a while. People took my tweet acting like I called his mama a sinner. I ain't say he can't sing. Folks added all this stuff to that one tweet. Chisos, I don't know what that means. But yeah, so the ratio on these tweets is horrible. It's like 79 retweets, 260 replies, because it's just people being like, what the fuck, what you not gonna do? Clap hands emoji. But yeah, so she wrote a whole like long ass essay about it on her thing, and it's like deflective as shit, man. Like, it's honestly, like, it's so weird because this could have all been solved with, my bad, y'all. You know, especially because her brand is kind of being judgy. I think her book is called I'm Judging You. You know, she kind of rose a lot of acclaim from like making fun of people who had typos and faux pas on Twitter and shit, and, you know, collecting those and being like, haha, look at this stupid person. You know, and by the way, rose to acclaim with the support of a lot of people that drag her now.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of those drag culture type people were like elevating her back when it, you know, in 2008, 2009 or whatever. That's kind of how she became Lovey. Like, people was out here supporting her. A lot of black people that were American, a lot of black Twitter like people and faves, quote unquote. And she just branded that and took it to the next level, and now she's, you know, a hustler, like podcaster, author, all this shit, right? The thing is, a lot of people don't like her place in the culture at this point because she's African, and people feel like she shouldn't get to speak for black American people in our culture because she doesn't always understand it. And she's had more than a few like things that she said that people have been like, yo, this is not the black experience. Why do you get to talk about this? You know, why do you get to why are you getting attention from the NAACP for an essay about reparations? You don't know anything about this, and you're talking about black people shouldn't get them. Allegedly, I've no one seen this, has been scrubbed from the internet. I've never seen this essay, but that's what people accuse her of. Also stuff like you know this kind of shit, like you fuck up some slang or some pop culture type shit that black people would in America, in our culture, we like, nah, you don't say that, you know. Or if you did say it and everybody was like, the fuck you talking about, you just be like, oh, my bad, y'all, my bad, you right, Tevin could blow, I'm tripping, and you just move on, you know. And so she wrote this long thing that ended up turning into like, what is blackness, who is and isn't black, are y'all black checking me, y'all saying Africans aren't black, and it, like, one is all over the place and kind of filled with some faulty whataboutism logic. But most importantly, like, that's not what the fucking, why couldn't you just be like, my bad? I don't understand. Like, if I really feel like the double down makes it worse, because if you don't understand how it's shady to say, what rock did y'all pull that name from under? And Tevin Campbell's like Aretha Franklin's like friend in real life and shit. If you don't understand why that's offensive, then what are you doing? Why that's shady? How can you speak for our culture? You know what I mean? Like, how can you, like, the average person would be like, yeah, I was being shady, y'all caught me, I didn't even think about that one, you know. But yeah, she wrote this thing, what is blackness? Is it based on where you're from? Is it based on your skin tone? Is it based on your heritage? Is it lived experience? What is blackness, in caps? As someone whose blackness is questioned loudly because a question I asked about a black American musician, I must ask it. By the way, the question being, what rock did y'all pull that name from under? Okay, it brought to the surface whether I was qualified to speak on black American culture, and it also had some folks wondering if my blackness was enough. Chisos, like I said, I don't know what that means. I assume it's maybe some something to her African culture that I don't know about. In the words of R&B songstress Deborah Cox, how did you get here? Nobody's supposed to be here. I'm Nigerian born and American bred, haven't been here since I was 9 years old. I'm now 33. At nine, I knew nothing. I didn't even know to define myself as black, because I was from a country where black is the default, so there's no need to define it. It's like going to a Catholic church. No one needs to say they're Catholic. So coming to the U.S. was my first time having to deal with race. I had never heard about the transatlantic slave trade, because at schools in Nigeria, we were learning about the Biafran War, and how the country got colonized by the British and just got its independence in 1960. Well, I mean, that is your black experience. That does not mean that black and African American or black American culturally is the same shit. It is what it is. You had a different experience, just like men and women have a different experience of blackness. It's not to say one is necessarily better than the other, but you may be less connected to the culture despite having grown up here for 24 years as opposed to someone who was born here. There's no disrespect in that. The disrespect, I feel like, comes in with the double down, and in this case the deflection, because we only got to should you be the spokesperson by the fact that you weren't willing to listen to a bunch of black people. It wasn't like this shit just came up out of nowhere, although there are people that just don't fuck with her and can't wait for anything she says so they can hop on it. I'm not even really getting into those people. That's a whole nother fucking discussion. But just the general, like, because for a dragon like this, it ain't just them 10, 12 people that can't wait to drag your ass every day. Mm-mm. It's a ton of people that are like, girl, what you doing? You know what I mean? It's a ton of those people. So,
and there's a lot of people to go, I like Tyra Banks. I was rooting for you.
Right. Moving to Chicago, a place I had visited once when I was too little to remember much, was jarring, because it was also my introduction to racial politics. Even so, the subject of slavery was barely taught in elementary and high schools I went to. You know, we talked about Harriet Tubman, who was a matron saint of freedom, but also a crutch for folks to gloss over the depth of the horror she was fighting against. Of course, every Black History Month, we had to recite Dr. Martin Luther King's I Had a Dream speech. It wasn't until I got to college at the University of Illinois that I really got to explore and deeply research slavery and its impact on this country. My major was psychology psychology, but I ended up having sociology minor because I elected to take so many classes around race and ethnicity in the United States. I wanted to know so much more. College was where I took a Black Women in the U.S. class on the first day. The professor, who is also now my mentor, kicked it off by saying, I know you're wondering why this Latino woman is teaching this class. I'm Black, I'm just light with freckles, and also we're having a test on Valentine's Day because I'm single. Gosh, I love that class so much. Shout out to Dr. Millward. College was where I first read Asada Shakur's biography and left an indelible mark on me. College was where I got trained to be a counseling center paraprofessional and had to spend the first semester of the program exploring all parts of my identity and identifying my privilege. Before we could be peer counselors, we needed to be clear on who we were and the space we would take up in the world. This is going a long way for my bad guys. Didn't realize this Tevin Campbell shit was that deep. College is also where I reclaim my pride as a Nigerian. Being an immigrant in the United States as a young girl is difficult. Coming here with a strong accent, strange name, and shock of being a new girl for the first time, I was extra other. I, like many others, heard the African booty scratcher insults. When you're young, being different is not a badge of honor you celebrate. I lost most of my accent by the time I started college by mimicking the way my classmates spoke, and I tucked away my first name to protect it from those who made it ugly. When I got to undergrad and saw West Africans being unapologetically themselves, it inspired me to do the same. I ended up as vice president of the African Cultural Association. Now see, this is kind of something we talk about all the time, like the new Black shit, but it's just from the immigrant perspective. Mm-hmm. Where it's like you run from the shit, and then you get somewhere where you can kind of flourish, and you don't just like take to it on some regular shit. It's like, I gotta make up for lost time. I gotta be the president of the Blacks, you know what I mean? As opposed to like, you know, let me you know, kind of ease into this. But I understand and can relate to that idea, because
yes,
a lot of Black people go through that shit. You know, people always mock those people, but I don't know, you get to it when you get to it. What the fuck?
Right.
You know, like, anyway. College expanded my world, solidified my politics, and deepened my love of Black people and Blackness in all its varieties and layers. I am Black, I'm Nigerian, I'm Yoruba, I am Chicagoan, I'm Nigerian America, I'm Black American. So when is our Blackness enough? Now see, I think in that part right there, there's people that are like, but you're not Black American in the way that people born here and whose families come from slavery are Black. You have a different Black American experience. I don't really care about the label of it, call yourself whatever, but when you position yourself to speak about us culturally and speak for us culturally, and you're putting yourself in that seat, you have to also be aware of how many people you don't represent and how many people are gonna take issue with what you're saying. You know, anybody, this is not just a immigrant thing, this is everything. When I talk, I'm an atheist, I don't speak for all Black people. You know what I mean? Like, I have my shit, and I'm sure there's a ton of Black people that be like, man, fuck that shit. Like, Jesus gonna fix this. You know, like, you know, it's just different. You know I have certain shit that just is not aligned with everybody. I can't speak to everyone's experience like that. Unfortunately, because it's almost like the Ta-Nehisi Coates shit, because whiteness is very much, it can be one. You gonna get put in some spaces where it's like, you're speaking for everybody, but you're not. You know, but it feels, at least to me, like to some ways Lovey kind of buys into the hype that she is speaking for everybody, and it's like, no, but you're not though. You know, like, these people calling you out should be like a little chin check on some, like, okay, all right, well, I'm way out of line on this one, as opposed to y'all don't think I'm Black enough. But I say that once again, it's easier to say for me because my mentions weren't on fire, and I'm sure there were people questioning her Blackness and coming for her neck and in a ways that human beings react to defensively. And that part always gets left out of the equation when people talk about these things.
Correct.
It's like, whichever side I agree with is the right side, and they can talk to you however they want. No, a lot of times the conversations are not fruitful because people don't know how to talk to each other.
Agreed.
And you know, Lovey's a hard case to make because Lovey has made a living off of talking to people harshly or judging people and mocking people and being very funny and all this shit. So like, it's not like she's necessarily having open discussions that are very transparent and nice. Or on Twitter, it's kind of like, I say my shit, I double down on my shit, then I just dip for a few days and don't talk to y'all. or I just ignore whatever y'all are saying to me. And I'm sure that that doesn't foster a lot of positive discussion either way, you know. Not that I think Twitter is a good venue for those kind of discussions either way. Is my blackness exempt because I wasn't born in the United States? Does that exclude me from being able to say I'm a black American when my formative years have been in this country? Because if that is the case, then it is saying that I have to opt out of an entire culture that I've been a part of for most of my life. It is saying that no one's asking you to opt out, though. I don't think that's what people are saying.
No, they're not.
It's just your opinion isn't the fucking prevailing opinion over everything. You know? Like, this, man. It's getting to that point where it's kind of like how white people feel when they get criticized and they do the like, I'm just gonna stop doing y'all the favor of even talking about y'all shit. And it's like, the fuck, we wasn't asking you to do us no favors. We can talk for ourselves. We can just as easily stand at that dais and speak and get that check for talking about that shit the same way you can. Don't act like there's no, that this is some altruistic shit. You make your living doing this. You get these checks for a reason. I ain't jealous of your check, but let's keep it real. This ain't no fucking charity case, all right? So yeah, it's not about opting out. It's just, if you part of the culture and the culture speaks back to you, then I don't understand how you get to be like, y'all want me to not be in the culture. It's like, no, we telling you, you gotta get back in line. This shit is, what you saying is not representative of the majority of the way we feel. Anyway, she goes on to say, it is saying that I'm not truly home, even though I hold my hold the passport. It says that even though it is something I'm proud of, I cannot claim it because simply because when I came into this world, my ancestors were not enslaved. Yeah, I don't know about the framing of this. the framing of that's pretty bad. The double consciousness that W.B. Du Bois spoke of also speaks to a lot of us who are first generation Africans or Caribbean folks, or just immigrants in general. We have one foot on each place, and we're told we aren't enough of either thing we claim. Some of us aren't African enough, but then we're told we're also not American enough because we happen to not be born here. Why is that? I don't know that that is what double consciousness meant from W.E.B. I guess you can try to adjust it to how the immigrant story, but it was a very specific Black American story he talked about, you know. If anything, man, like, I mean, I'm not an immigrant, man, but to a certain extent, it's a bit different because, like, he's talking about you can never see yourself outside the view of whiteness and judge yourself for exceeding in the view of whiteness and for failing. If you're coming here from another culture where you're like, I didn't even know slavery was a fucking thing, you're not that's not what he's talking about. And I don't really see how it feels like such a stretch to try to like say that applies to this situation. In my opinion, I think that's, it's just, I don't know, this kind of, this just feels like it's confirming all those people that are like, you don't have the range to be talking about this shit, you know. And I don't mean that in a mean way, but that is so irrelevant to the discussion about this, because if anything, you're bringing a level of privilege over here with you that many Black kids would have loved to have 9 years of knowing Black people could be anything. We would have loved to have 9 years of Black politicians, Black drivers, Black car, Black house butlers, Black presidents. We would love to have that, you know. And that's something you bring with you, and it's something that you kind of learn about our experience third party, because once you get here, it's, hey, you look like these people, you don't, like, you're like, here in America, we don't give a fuck that you're not like these people. You look like these people. So you kind of don't have a choice but to get grouped into it, but it's not really the same as, you know, the double consciousness of being born into this shit. And that, you know, that's, it just feels like a stretch. So she goes on, so we are only supposed to opt in to certain parts of it, but not all. At the other end of a police officer's gun, my Africanness does me no good. I'm black to the white. When Amadou Diallo was shot and killed by New York City cops, his native tongue, motherland of heritage, did nothing to save him. Sure, we can talk about privilege of having the anchor of a place where you know you are from, but that privilege does not protect us from the racist structure that wants us all to fail strictly because of our diasporic relation and our skin. Yeah, I don't think anybody was presuming that. I don't think anybody is being informed by this. No one's saying you live a white experience. They're just saying culturally you might not be a person that should be a spokesperson for black Americans who were born in America. It's a very different experience, apparently. The fact that you can't grasp it is kind of like confirmation that people are like, yeah, you might shouldn't be talking about this. And then she put a link to Black Lives Matter post. I don't know. We can talk about how police brutalize black people, but we cannot have a voice to talk about black American music because that isn't our culture. I think it is absurd. We can speak up loudly about how black people are discriminated against, but we should shut up about black celebrities since we have no claim to them, that they are somehow in a glass case we have no access to. Oh, okay. That is literally not what, that is not the problem. People don't have a problem because you had an opinion on Tevin Campbell. People disagree with your opinion. And then because of your double down and because of your past and because this shit keeps coming up, then it gets into, why the fuck are you even talking about this? That's what keeps happening. And it's because, like I said, I swear to God, this next tweet, it would have been, oh shit, my bad. I was tripping. Tevin is the man. No hate for my blood, and move the fuck on. Everybody would be like, all right, cool. Instead, it's just like a denial, that like a weird denial, like it wasn't even shade. Yes, it was. What name did y'all pull that rock from under? What rock? Like, come on, man. More importantly, let's see, I listen to 90s R&B and hip-hop as much as I listen to Afro beats, but me not liking mumble rap is not a commentary on the state of black America. It is audacious to think that the moment we express opinions that aren't favorable is because we are anti-black American. Once again, you can't divorce this from the history that people have with you. It is what it is. You can't. These folks didn't come out of nowhere for nothing. It's like me telling someone who says they don't like Fela Kuti's music that they hate Africans. We have to elevate our conversation beyond using the countries of our birth as basis for the opinions we form on each other. Yeah, it's not the same because, one, you claimed it was no shade, but now you just brought up, it's like saying out, anyway, don't like another artist. But if I did try to speak on his place in fucking African culture and what his music meant to Afrobeat and shit, I don't know what the fuck that means, and I'm not as versed in it. So yeah, my fucking opinion might get me cussed the fuck out from the people that actually live that experience. How is that that is not an African thing, a black thing, or whatever thing. That's a human being thing. Like, why is that so hard to grasp? That's not a mean, like, that could happen to anybody. You know, like, knowing your lane is so fucking crucial, and it'll keep you out of so many fucking conflicts. Cause you could just be like, dog, this ain't even my ministry. All right, y'all. We just talked about it with that crazy rich Asian shit. The appropriation shit is not my ministry. We've been saying this shit for 8 years on this show. So when it comes up and the discussion is, hey, is this too much? I'm always like, I don't fucking know, cause I don't keep up with that. If y'all think it's too much, go in, feel free. It ain't for me to say. Cause I've been on the other side of that shit, laughing or joking about something that might have been offensive to another culture, and I don't know if it is or not. But I know enough to know I don't know. That shit is a major key to all this public commentary shit. But yeah, if somebody didn't like some African artist, I mean, it's, why don't they like them? What do they think about their place in that culture? Who are they as an authority to be able to say that? you know. More importantly, my pride in my Nigeriousness does not insult my Black Americans. I can say Naja, no, Dead Carry, last, as I raise my green, white, green flag. I also proudly yell Black Lives Matter as I wave my red, black, green one. Jollof is delicious, but jambalaya is sweet too. That, okay. Those feel like random thoughts. Nobody saying you, okay. When told to go back to Africa, it is another reminder that you can be other than call somewhere home, but still be told you don't belong in it by people who look like you. Where is home then?
But this all started off a tweet with Tevin Campbell, right?
How did we get here? Indeed, back to the first line. So who's the authority on blackness and black culture? Black American culture is so deep and has such breadth and impact that its markers are often part of the global conversation. I was watching A Different World from my living room in Nigeria because we had a satellite dish. When I was 7, me and my cousins put on a talent show that we charged our parents to come watch in the living room. Well, we wore our clothes backwards, and since we love crisscross. Black culture is global because I identify with those things, not because they are American, but because they were black. I will not opt out of it. I cannot opt out. I'm staying like Effie White. I do not call myself an expert. I'm a forever student. But you refuse to learn, boo. You don't never learn. How you a student when you just dictate to everybody what the fuck we supposed to think about what you say? How's that a student? You know, like, that's, you speak as if you're an authority, and when you're challenged, you double down on your authority of it and then make yourself the victim. I mean, this is a pattern at this point. You know, what's being learned here? Some people believe that those of us who aren't born from a legacy of slavery have no place in the conversation because we aren't directly tied to that particular type of struggle. So is blackness earned through some sort of pain? But I need to suffer in a specific way before laying claim to it? Black culture in America is yes, absolutely. But you're not gonna like that answer. Right? You're not gonna like that answer. That's the fucking truth. It doesn't matter if you're a rich black person in America. If you come from a lineage where your people was enslaved, yes, you are black in a way that is different than somebody coming over here from somewhere else and then claiming blackness later. Like, it is a difference.
Yeah, because you probably can trace your lineage back to the beginning. Like, if you tracked it back, you actually know your native tongue.
Yeah, well, not just that. I mean, you might not know your native tongue. It's not even that. I'm just saying, like, you know, she does, but I'm not even talking about that. I'm just saying just the general idea of, is there a blackness that needs to be respected simply because that blackness is from the heritage of slavery? In America, you goddamn right it is. Yes, and it does take precedent. And no, you don't get to fucking tell us that we don't do that. Like, it is insulting. You know what I mean? No one said you can't be black, boo. Right. Nobody is kicking you out of blackness.
Nope.
You know, maybe there's some niggas that have vendettas against you and they finally, it chipped away and it got to you in your head or whatever. But you have a platform of a lot of people at this point. A lot of supporters as well.
Yeah, a lot of people actually rooting for you.
A lot of people are rooting for you. To be honest, even despite all this shit, I'm still rooting for her. I don't have no problem with Lovey, but this shit is like played, man. It's over and over and over again, man, with the same shit. You know what I mean? Like, come on, dog. What is this? You know, like, maybe this is an undercurrent of some insecurity you're dealing with because you have, because she has, you know, these gigs that people consider black American gigs, and she gets these gigs in there and she's speaking with a lot of like black cultural speak, but people are like, why didn't this just go to a black person from here? You know, and I understand, because that's fucked up. What am I gonna do, not take the check? Like, I understand how in her position I'd be like, yeah, well, you know, but you just gotta live with it. Like, you made the choice, you took the check, you're getting paid. Like, you gotta understand, when you're speaking on Scandal, when you're speaking on Insecure as the voice of black culture reviewing this shit, the officially, you know, like, there's gonna be some people that, one, just have plain old jealousy and resentment. There's also gonna be a ton of people that are like, but why what makes you the cultural authority that gets to speak for all of us? And when that is challenged, if your first thing is to be like, poor me, y'all making me feel bad for having this African privilege, like, then you're already divorcing, you're making the delineation in the culture, like, right there, you know. Anyway, it's just like, I really do want to be understanding, empathetic here. I can relate to this idea, even though I'm not from Africa. She probably deals with a lot of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not, like, it's easy for me to say, as this third party observer of her life, who, you know, I don't read these comments to her that probably are just fucking mean, scathing, you know, just people that have built up years of animosity, and every time she makes any misstep, they can't wait to pull out the entire thing. Because despite all the shit, I still don't think whatever she said was bad enough for the 4-5 day dragging that occurred on Twitter.
Mm-mm.
But it's an accumulative effect, and then you say stuff like this, and it's like, oh, here's why it's cumulative. This is why it acclimates, because you do double down and you do go back at these people or try to turn them into the bad guys. If you were always middle class or upper, are you less black? Not if you're from America and your family came from slavery. No. If you are light-skinned and haven't had issues related to dark-skinned discrimination, are you less black? No, but you have light-skin privilege. That's called colorism. If you're Afro-Latino and was born in Puerto Rico, are you less black? No, not necessarily, but you also have some privilege. You know, especially if you're passing or light, you know. And not to mention there's issues within the anti-black issues within the Latinx sphere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why don't you know the answer to these questions? You're asking these questions like there's not answers. If you do have ancestors who were ever enslaved, are you less? If you do not have ancestors who are never enslaved, are you less black? No, you're not less black, but you might not be qualified to speak on every experience. We often say that black is not a monolith, but when we question blackness that doesn't look like ours, we wonder if the person who grew up differently than us loves black people, especially isn't. Everyone isn't Omarosa or Stacey Dash just because they have been privileged. I agree that everybody's not Omarosa or Stacey Dash. But then to then say, like, the privilege has no effect on their point of view is bullshit. Like, because basically what you're telling me is, look, privilege has not affected me in any way. So these faux pas and these, like, consistent, like, once or twice a year fuck ups that I'm having has nothing to do with my privilege. You guys are the problem. It's very white feminism TM of you to then hit everybody else over the head with it's the monolith that's the problem, not me. You know, it's y'all black people. I'm just surprised you don't have people in her corner that's like, don't do this. All right, let me go to the next session real quick.
Okay.
But yeah, it's like nobody in your circle was like, just don't say nothing. You know, like, not because you're not an authority on blackness, but because this shit'll pass if you just let it.
It will.
Like, you making this dragging take longer than it needed to take. All right, I'm adding you back to the screen. If we are couching our blackness in the struggle, then what are we working for? If the purpose of our rocky roads isn't to smooth out the path of those who come after us, what is the win? When are we enough? When can we rest in our blackness without having to justify or defend it to people who want to act like we're in some competition for the authentic black experience? Is our blackness ever enough? Well, here's the thing. You are in the competition. Whether you accept it or not, this is a news wake up call to you. You are competing. When you're getting these checks, when you're getting these gigs, when you're getting these speaking things, all these things where you get to speak on the culture, it is a competition. It's not fair, it's a competition, but it's absolutely a competition. When you're in the go-to Rolodex for some of these interviews and some of these jobs, it has become a competition whether you recognize it or not. Everybody's not rooting for you. Some people rooting against you, some people rooting for themselves. you know, it is what it is, but it definitely is a competition because people believe in scarcity and they feel like every opportunity you get is an opportunity to some Black American person who was born in America, whose family did experience certain things American culturally from birth. They feel like it's an opportunity that person should have got and not you. It's not fair, but that's the truth. And that's why a lot of this backlash, you know, kind of comes from, is why you? And you're going to constantly have to deal with the idea of why you. Even if you was Black and American, you still would be dealing with it from a different perspective. You know, look at these activists, dog. It's you were just talking about light skinned activists yourself. You were just talking about them not being able to talk for Black people. You were just doing that, saying they just turned Black and shit. You were just doing that like a year ago or whatever. Like, you know, because you've done it. You know, you make a living off of being the judge, but to be the judge of people means you put yourself above the people. That's what happens. It's not, you know. Anyway, so how do we heal? 4 years ago, I talked about how fortunate I feel that I got to the United States when I did at such a young age. Read my post called About the Relationship Between Africans and African Americans. I was able to be in spaces that allowed me to explore what Blackness meant, and it was a growing point. I was also able to see how Africans who are older get to be fed bullshit about African Americans. I talked about the word Akata and why I don't use it, because it has derogatory origins. It is a word that means wild animal, but many people who use it don't realize it, participating in dehumanizing skin folk without realizing it. The need for us to heal is real. Well, let me add you to this. You know why you was in those spaces? Because we are welcoming. By the way, Karen has not said anything during this whole segment, but she just keeps making eyes for y'all not in the chat. Keeps making eyes over here like, but without saying anything. Feel free to chime in if you want.
I will.
You know, I know you look stupid every day on here, but I'm just trying to help you out. the thing is, you're in those spaces because we're not the people that you're saying we are.
Correct.
How are you in those spaces if we're the people that are like, you ain't Black enough, get away from us? You know, how are we, like, I don't understand how both of those things exist at the same time. Because you wouldn't know our culture if we didn't let you in. So you can't have it both ways of y'all mean Black people always doing this to people. And it's like, but then how'd you learn? You learn from the inside because we said that's cool. We don't get down with that shit. Come through. You know? Is there going to be some people that are assholes? Yep. In every fucking group, there's a group. Just like there's Africans that call us Akata, there's fucking Black people that pick on Africans and shit too. I've been there. I've seen it. And I didn't even grow up around African people, and I still seen people that had shit to talk about Africans that were Black people in America.
Same.
Yeah, so it's not that foreign of a concept, but I would never let that shit define. I would not let the African people that have talked shit about me define my entire relationship with the diaspora. You know, I wouldn't. But I would accept that that's gonna be a thing, you know? Anyway, there's an advantage in youth because a lot of folks in the older generation of Africans never had a chance to unlearn whatever stereotypes they had heard about African Americans. Maybe we need to help our parents by sending them the WhatsApp threads, because you know that is where all the African aunts and uncles park themselves day in and day out. If I get one more mass prayer that has a floral background from them, I might need to block them. Anyway, what I see as the job of those who are the bridge, because we are living in both worlds, is to educate, had a conversation about our tensions. We need to get to a place of true go. Here's what I would add to that though. Seeing yourself as the bridge and the person that's supposed to educate means that you have to listen. You can't dictate to both sides. You gotta listen to something. You know? And I think, I don't know, Levy's been in some situations where she just don't listen. She don't really care what Black people have to say back to her if they think she's wrong. So Wakanda, whenever Black Panther came out, we were all inspired of coming together. We were carrying Wakanda passports, but it's clear that we haven't really absorbed some of what I consider his best lessons. I do wish we could go back to Wakanda in that time, and Blackness was cool, but yeah, it's Wakanda, for sometimes. Everybody knows that. We need to heal. Wakanda, unlike most of Africa, escaped colonization, which is why it's a utopia we all want to live in. But most of Africa, unlike Wakanda, has been pilfered of its natural resources by the colonizers and doesn't have the capacity to help. So when Africans come to the United States and excel, we got to know it's not just from our own doing. We didn't pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. Who do we think made those boots? The African Americans who have been here for 400 years, beaten, chained up, and denigrated. Their legacy allows us to then cross the ocean on our own volition and do well. We are standing on the shoulder on their shoulders, and we must not forget that. Similarly, Africans cannot feel like we are always one step away from being told that we need to go back to Africa, especially not from our own. We already get that language from white people. We can all wear Ankara and Kente for a film premiere, but we cannot return to fighting each other based on where we are from right after. Yeah, my thing is, like, one, this is a ton of words. I've been reading this forever. Two, you hopped on the Summer Jam screen. It keeps, like, it's just this thing where people, it's like, I just got outed for no reason. It's like, dog, this is like your fifth time on the Summer Jam screen. It's you. It's gotta be you at some point. You take no responsibility for none of this shit. It's just black people just be tripping, huh? Anytime? Okay. We could talk about Wakanda forever every day, but it doesn't ring true if we continue to fight to continue to other each other. I keep thinking about what T'Challa said when he went to the United Nations. Fools build barriers, the wise build bridges. I don't care where you were born. The melanin means we're kinfolk, even if it's far down the line. But we've let the world tell us who we are. We've called each other names. We've let the world tell us that we're on different teams, and we've let each other down by not fighting for each other. For the conversation to be productive and for the healing to happen, both sides have to be willing to get uncomfortable, own our roles, apologize for them, and make amends to each other. Where's your apology? Where are your amends? Where's your ownership of your role? This has been a long ass "it's y'all, not me." Where is that? I haven't seen not one "I'm sorry," not one "okay, let me tell y'all how I fucked up." Nothing. This is everybody but you. We need to learn each other's histories because life ain't been no crystal stair for either side. The legacy of colonization still ravages the homes of those whose ancestors were not chained in the ships. We're victims of white supremacy, and that is what we need to defeat. We need to love. This is why white people that were like vote for Bernie turned on me and was like, "You being divisive." Ah! I'm like, nah, I pointed out that you said something fucked up. See, we need to stop fighting and come together. I'm not coming together with you till you acknowledge you said was fucked up and apologize. I mean, look, water under the bridge. See, this is the problem. Y'all, you can't get over things. I'm like, where's the part where you apologize for what you said, though?
He mustered him, okay.
We need to love up on each other and make white folks uncomfortable because they know how unstoppable we will be when we know we go together. Questioning each other's rights to blackness is hustling backwards. We got to do better. You literally did this shit with those activists, dog. You did this. What? Are you even the same person? Like hip-hop icon and Blue Ivy's daddy Jay-Z said, nobody wins when the family feuds. And a bunch of black GIF emojis all throughout this. What do you think about it, Karen?
It's a lot. A whole lot of nothing, because this has nothing to do with Tevin Campbell.
Yeah, that's a good point. It, honestly, man, it just sounds like she didn't learn shit. It sounds like everything was everybody else's fault. You know, some of the language and the stuff she chooses to use, you know, I get it. But at the same time, like, I just want to point out, I'm not very upset with her because I honestly think she's just one person. It's just her fucking opinion. People were having a time of mourning over Aretha Franklin. I'm sure a lot of black people are feeling sensitive and shit.
Right.
But that's not her responsibility for that either. I've seen hotter takes come off too soon from other people, and that did not get this reaction. I think this is about a series of fucking incidents that people are upset with her about, and it's coming to a head. There's a lot of people that have never seen it for her, and shit goes back a long way, and they just don't like her showing up, and they were waiting for her to have a misstep of some kind, and they were ready to go in, and you know, but this response was not helpful. Some people were buying to it, but I think this really does lean into the idea of like Africans are being victimized by Black Americans here. That's how it reads to me. Like, the ultimate, because like I said, for all this, we need to heal, we need to apologize, we need to see where we make amends. None of that happened in this entire long ass 2,500 words that I read. So I can't in any good consciousness say that I can't say that this was written in good faith. You know, I would like to, but
I'm glad you read it, because I wasn't gonna read it. That's a lot of words to say nothing.
I feel you.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
I just don't know why the next tweet wasn't, hey, my bad, y'all, sorry about that.
And that could have ended everything.
You know, I don't know why it wasn't just that.
Mm-mm.
You know, the other part was, it was just some unfortunate time, and Nicki Minaj saw tweets about Lovey's tweet but didn't see Lovey's tweet. Not Nicki Minaj, Missy Elliott. And it sounded like Missy was shading Lovey when she later went on to be like, I didn't even see that tweet, y'all, and I don't have a problem with Lovey, my bad, you know. But yeah, man, it just, it is what it is, man. All right, we talked about that for a long time. I didn't plan on it.
And also my thing too is that the foundation of a lot of what she was saying is basically, if you're African American and your descendants were slaves, almost like y'all are the only people that quote unquote have a right to consider yourself African American, and other blacks that join don't really have a right to consider themselves African Americans, you know, because she kept harping on that slavery. But that slavery shit matter. You can't erase that. You can't separate that. Like, that is a fact. We said, you can come on, you can be black, and nobody try to kick you out of blackness, but that is something that fucking matters to us, and you can't act like it doesn't.
Yeah, you can't yada 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 that shit. And I've made a joke on this show several times, and I mean, it's half in jest, but it's half serious. But it's like when white people tell black people who are from America, go back to Africa, which we've never been to. And when black people who are pan-Africanists, who are like, we just gonna go to Africa, and I'm like, you're not from fucking Africa. What do you think? You're just gonna get over there, bring your American stereotypes of what Africa is, like you think it's all one fucking place, and you're just gonna show up and ask, hey guys, can you show me a village? Where's my hut? And then they're gonna look at you and be like, motherfucker, what century do you think you come from, and where the fuck do you think you are? Because we're not from there.
Right, we'll go over there talking about the country of Africa.
Right. Can you guys show me to my village? And people gonna be like, You don't own shit from here.
Right.
You don't, none of this is yours. You don't speak any of my language. You come over here with your fucking, like, stupid ass attitudes and calling us third world and backwards and all this shit that you learn from white folks. And you come over here and just, I'm sure they deal with it too. And I have never been to Africa. And I know that this has to happen there because I'm black and American, it happens here. So I know that, and I know how we feel and what we are taught and how insufficient it is. And no amount of time I spend over in Africa is ever going to make me the same as a person who was born there. It is never going to happen. It doesn't matter that we're both black. I'm not getting kicked out of blackness because they tell me their experience is different than mine. And you weren't kicked out of blackness because someone told you the black American experience is different than the one you had. You still had some either advantages or just simply some differences. Either way, you have copped to these differences. But did you truly understand, or is it just this thing of, I want to have the top spot in things that I talk about, and I want it to be unchallenged, so therefore I'm gonna make it seem like y'all bullied me, when the truth of the matter is I've stepped in it a few times, and I don't want to ever admit that I stepped on it. And nothing feels more like a reminder of the fact that you're not from here than you telling people who are in mass from here, telling you, we disagree with you and what you said was kind of offensive. No, it wasn't, and you guys are offending me. That's what happened. You know what I'm saying? I say that with compassion and empathy because, like I said, I am fucking sure from her perspective, this shit just always feels like it's coming out of nowhere and it's super mean and people don't give a fuck. And like, I guarantee you that's a huge part of it. And I ain't even knocking her for that. That part of it is the part that never gets talked about when we talk about people as if they're brands and celebrities and shit. They're human beings with emotions too. And they were going, you know, she was going back and forth with prominent people and on Twitter that they might not be friends, but I'm sure they know of each other. And she also got found, you know, because it's Twitter, you're going to find out some people that don't fuck with you and don't like you that's been waiting to tell your ass. And that ain't, you know, that's harsh and that sucks too. And I'm sure she got feelings behind all that shit. But like, you was just wrong. It's possible to be wrong. And part of the reason you're wrong is because you're not from here or you don't respect the culture like that. You don't understand necessarily the cultural significance of certain people that are icons in to us and only to us. And that's okay. That's where the learning is supposed to come from. This was a moment where you go, I learned something. Tevin Campbell apparently is motherfucking Black Jesus. I didn't know. I did not know you can't talk shit about Tevin Campbell. Don't nobody talk shit about Tevin Campbell. Like, now I know. My bad. Would have been the end of it for the vast majority of people. The people that don't like you, of course, they're going to harp on it.
Right.
But they were going to harp on you saying, I just had some Cheerios this morning. They were going to be like, you motherfucker, Cheerios? Go back to Africa. They were going to do that. But for the vast majority of us that weren't offended by, you know, a lot of the shit, that weren't really up in arms over it until it becomes a fucking thing with you doubling down and then writing to tell us this long ass shit about Black people aren't mean, now it's a thing for everybody. It didn't have to be, but now it is. So yeah, I, you know, like I said, man, that whole thing was whack. 100
same. Yeah, so yeah, we don't play the games.
All right, man, like I said, I didn't know this episode was gonna go so long. I feel like we didn't talk about shit. You talk about no articles.
We talked about some things though,
but yeah, this has been a long, unfunny, angry episode. But yeah, shout out to all the people listening in podcast land. We do appreciate y'all.
We do.
Shout out to Snakes, obviously. Shout out to Popcorn, you know.
Shout out to motherfucking Popcorn. Shout out to Sonic Toothbrushes,
you know what I'm saying? Like, shout outs to everybody. We'll be back soon. If everything goes as planned, me and Bossy should be reviewing this Insecure on Friday morning. Tomorrow morning should be Ballsy Sports for me and Justin. So and you know, someone wrote me about like, hey, I didn't see an episode in the queue this morning. Are y'all taking is it 4 episodes a week from now on? And I said, I don't know. I just was tired. And the thing is, now I'll say it again. We work for ourselves. I am not gonna become a victim of the grind economy and grind myself to a nub. When I feel tired, when I need some time, I'm taking it. I don't got no boss other than me and Karen. And if we clear with each other, then some days it might not be a show. We do a lot of work, especially for our premium people who actually do pay for this stuff.
Y'all be getting shit when nobody else does.
Yeah, like, we do a lot of work, man. And if you're not premium, then you probably don't understand the amount of work that we do, because
yeah, sometimes 4-5 shows for that a week in addition to the other shows,
right? Like, we're guests on podcasts often. Especially like, I was on the Dominion recap on movie trailer reviews. We both were on Music Ate My Brains podcast about problematic songs. Those are Saturday afternoons we're giving up in addition to the shows we do on the weekend. Then you have, you know, we're doing movie reviews. We did Crazy Rich Asians. Then later on that night, we did Fear the Walking Dead recap. Like,
did we do 2 movies this week?
Yes. And yes, we did Mile 22 on Thursday. My point being, we're always working whether y'all see it or not.
Correct.
If you're not premium, then you probably don't see it. If you are premium, you definitely see it. And there's no way you're keeping up with all of it, more than likely. Nobody's probably listening to every episode and every premium show. Which is fine. I prefer it to be that way. But yeah, some days we gotta take a day off. And like I said, this week I'll be working Thursday and Friday anyway, you know, if everything goes according to plan. So, you know, and then back to grind Saturday, Sunday, you know, like, so some days it might be a Monday and I'm just like, yo, I can't do it. You know, I need to take this nap, you know? So anyway, that's what you guys are hearing. All right. Until, Saturday for the regular folks. I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.